Enchanted Sky Media. Media.
This is Code 3, the podcast for firefighters. Now, here's your host, Scott Orr.
Thank you for joining me again this week. Are you on our email list yet? You should be. We send out a weekly notice of who's featured on the show so you won't miss someone you might want to hear. We'll never spam you and we don't sell or give away your information. So go to the website, code3podcast.com, and sign up right now. Well, maybe wait until this show is over to do it. Today we're talking with Avondale, Arizona firefighter Kyle Winterstein, who produced a video about his department. It's called Firefighter, the Next 48 Hours, and it's compelling. This video shows a lot of what firefighters do and see on a daily basis that the public doesn't. Joining me now is Kyle Winterstein. Welcome to Code 3.
Oh, thanks for having me.
This video is beautifully shot, and it really brings the message home. What experience do you have in video production?
Well, first, thank you. I'm glad to hear people are enjoying it. I've done like just kind of stuff on my own, little video project stuff here and there over the last few years. I've done photography for quite a few years, and now that cameras can shoot video and pictures, video just kind of was one of those things I started dabbling in, but I didn't really have a ton of experience in it. The last video prior to this one was another one I did for the department a few years back, and limited experience in it. So I've gotten better, and then this time around, the department had specific needs and really wanted to go all out with it. So I just, you know, thank God for YouTube, because you can learn anything now. And started diving into different programs and software and what type of cameras and what I could try to figure out how I could get the most out of it, you know, within budget. And that's where I ended up.
What prompted you to produce this video? You said the department was interested. Did they approach you?
Since I had done a video before, they did. Chief Adams approached me, and basically the idea was, there's lots of changeover at City Hall all the time, and all the departments are used to dealing with that. And, you know, unfortunately, the fire department has a lot of politics tied into it. And they wanted a video created that kind of showed members of our new council and other people down at City Hall, like, what it is that we do, besides just fight fire. Because that's the general consensus, you know, from a lot of people. To us, it seems obvious what we do because, you know, we're on the job. But you ask people on the outside, and the most common answer you get is, oh, don't you just put out fires? Well, there's a whole lot more to it, you know.
Yeah, these days there's a lot more EMS than firefighting, which a lot of people don't seem to know.
Right, and outside of that, there's even the EMS has evolved, you know, drastically. It's not just, oh, someone's got a medical problem, they call 911. I mean, we do a lot of stuff that, you know, we started a community paramedic program to where we're, you know, for our routine customers to try to kind of preempt getting to them and trying to meet their needs as best as possible and finding more resources for them and stuff so that they're not, you know, abusing the 911 system or, you know, tying up ALS units when, you know, they don't need to be, you know, stuff like that. So there's a lot to it, you know. And the other thing too is I think there's this perception, you know, all departments are different across the country, sure, but I think there's this perception for a lot of people that it's like, oh, well, aren't you just sitting around and then, you know, most of the time, and then you get a call once in a while. Well, some departments are fairly slow out there, sure. Ours is not one of them, you know.
Yeah, and even a busy station can have a slow day.
Yeah, and that's the truth, you know. And it's one of those situations to where that when we're not running calls, you know, that some people I think have this perception that we're just sitting around, and it's like, well, actually, we have a ton of training that we do, and there's constant continuing education and all kinds of stuff. So it was just kind of more of a thing to help enlighten some of the people within the city and the city council. And then at the same time, I just asked, and he, you know, our department was very supportive. I'm like, I'd like to generalize it a little bit too, just to kind of highlight, you know, what departments all over the country do.
All right, and we have a little bit of that now, so let's take a listen.
Just another typical morning on a typical day. You get ready, and you go to work. Pretty much just like anybody else. Except for one fundamental difference. For the next 48 hours, we need to be prepared for anything.
Powerful stuff there.
Oh, thank you.
How long did it take to produce this from the beginning of shooting through editing?
I started shooting. It was the entire process lasted about 7 months. I shot most of it while I was on shift and running the calls, which was a whole other hurdle to get by. But so, you know, it takes time to get the different types of calls. You know, you don't want to show a whole bunch of just the same thing over and over again, and trying to comply with HIPAA laws and not show faces or get consent from those that we did show, or if the call was too, you know, sensitive of nature to put on there, or, you know, there's certain things that we just couldn't use.
And so, I wanted to ask you about that. You had excellent access, obviously. Did you shoot some good video that you just couldn't use in the final product?
Oh yeah, there was a lot of it. That's just the nature of what it is, you know, but for legal reasons, yeah, there's a whole lot of video that we couldn't use. And you know, that's just kind of how it goes, but that's why I was lucky enough to have like such a long timeline to shoot this stuff. So what happened was when it started getting down towards, I had about a month or two left and I didn't have as much as I wanted. Then I started riding along with other crews and, you know, on other days and kind of trying to supplement that footage. And that worked out really well. And the other thing I did was I gave out GoPros to several of the other crews on different shifts for different people. And then some of that footage ended up getting used as well. So, you know, everyone else kind of helped pitch in at certain points and it became a group effort. But it's one of those things where because of the types of calls we run, you know, there's just not a lot of footage out there of it in general. Because like you said, I had access because I'm on the calls. But even so, it's still really tough because a lot of what we do is sensitive in nature. You know, people are letting us in their homes and they're not calling us on a good day. So getting footage that they're willing to have out there is kind of tough.
Was it difficult to shoot everything you needed?
You know, it was. What was difficult was getting good shots of, you know, a fire on the interior is obviously super tough. And getting good shots of, you know, certain medical calls or car accidents in a way that you're showing what we're doing but not, you know, violating the privacy of whoever's involved, that was super difficult. And, you know, what I didn't want to end up with was I had a ton of footage of us in training, you know, because that's the type of thing you can set up and you can control that atmosphere. So I had a bunch of training footage, but I didn't want to fill it up with a whole bunch of firefighter training footage because, well, that's the stuff that there's already tons of videos out there of.
Right. So, you were looking for the actual calls, but
correct,
the
yeah.
nature of the calls make it harder to get that stuff.
Yeah, very much so.
Now, how much of a distraction was it for you when you were on a run to be shooting this stuff, or did you get used to it pretty quick?
It was definitely a developing skill set because trying to turn out for a fire and then at the same time, you know, start up cameras and make sure all the cameras are where they're supposed to be and rolling, or, you know, on a medical call, just juggling that stuff and then still trying to get a shot without compromising what you're there to do was extremely tough. Like, even a simple call that really shouldn't have been that strenuous was definitely a lot more stressful just because there's more to worry about. So it's I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't do it again, but I would I would do my best to try to get some additional help if I were doing it again.
I have one more clip I want to play from this video. Let's take a listen.
Avondale Fire and Medical responds to nearly 11,000 calls a year, twice the national average for a city its size. All our firefighters are EMTs. 40% are also technical rescue technicians, and 70% are certified paramedics. We respond to everything from medical calls to car accidents, fires, and nearly every rescue scenario imaginable. The bottom line is, if you need us, we'll be there.
What do you hope people get out of this video now that it's finished?
What I hope people get out of it is just seeing more of what the firefighting profession is now in general. And that, because the reality is, like, people don't just call the fire department for fires, and we all know that now, but it comes down to, they call us for everything. I mean, other than when you specifically need the police, fire's who shows up. And I think it's important that the general public gets a sense of that, and that we're not just, you know, waiting for that next call, that we're also doing a bunch of community work as well, and that the fire service in general has always been involved with the community. But I think as of lately, most departments have really expanded that reach, and that it's important that we connect with our customer base, you know. And I think that helps do that. I think the video really does portray a decent job of it. And obviously it's shot from our department and the things that we're doing. However, my brother works for a neighboring city on the fire department. My father works for a neighbor city on the fire department. I've got friends in many other cities and fire departments all across the country. And I know that most of that stuff correlates directly with what they're doing too. So I just hope it gets a better sense out there for the general public of the types of things we do and how we're involved with the community and, you know, how much pride we all take in the job we do.
How has the audience feedback been so far?
It's been really, really good. I've gotten a whole lot of comments from people, general public and other departments across the country, and it's gone very well. I've had a couple news stations contact me and use clips of the video for segments, and so far I think it's been received very well. I know on YouTube, I want to say we're at roughly 110,000 views already, so it's translating very well.
Sounds like it's having the right impact.
Yeah, seems to be, and that's all you can ask for, right?
That's true. And I'd like to thank Hal Winterstein for being on with me today to discuss his new video, Firefighter, the Next 48 Hours. And there's a link to the video over at code3podcast.com/48. Take a look, see what you think. Don't forget, the free Code 3 app for Android phones is available now also. The link to download it is at the website, so now you have two reasons to visit. That's all for this edition. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next week with more. I'm Scott Orr, and until next week, I'll see you later.
Code 3 is a production of Enchanted Sky Media. To get in contact with us, visit code3podcast.com. And if you haven't subscribed yet, you should. Don't miss an episode. Find us at the Apple iTunes Store, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.